following is an exclusive presentation of Rave TV.
I think general managers are going to be more in a hot seat than head coaches.
People have posed as me on Facebook before.
I don't know if one way or the other is better, but I know that we won a championship by letting men be men.
Hey there and welcome in, everybody. It is our playoff edition of Purple Passion. Brett Harris here. Let's meet the professionals, the round table of opinions and personalities. Brad Jackson, of course, Kyle Richardson, and Kadri Ismail. And this week, Ravens Broncos out in Denver, Mile High City, the thin air, and everything that goes with it. And with it, the Ravens go in as underdog. You guys have been an underdog before. It's hard to believe. You're all Super Bowl champs. But you've been an underdog at some point in your career. Do you relish that role, what the Ravens will be dealing with?
Do you guys remember the Titans where you go down to – remember the Titans. But the Philadelphia Coliseum, you're talking about a very difficult place to play. They had the number one defense as far as on paper. I understand we had the best defense of all time. But you're looking at a scenario where it was us against the world. And I think this can be that scenario present day. The Broncos, yes, they have their 11-game winning streak. Yes, Peyton Manning is looking all spectacular and all that. But I think this team, they play well when they are underdogs, when they have to go on the road, and it has to be about rallying with one another as opposed to saying, well, we can just go out there and show up. I think this is going to work in the Ravens'
favor. Brian Billick going into talking to us about that game, going in there. You don't go into the Lions' Den carrying anything but a big spear, right, is what he alluded to. No, I think what I would do also is there a hope and a chance that the Ravens can go out there? Look, there's a lot of bulletin material out there coming out of Denver right now, and one of the articles I was reading, there's some very high confidence out of these people out there. I would say, hey, spread this out into our locker room at the Ravens, if that's who we are, and say go out there and look at what they're saying. You know, they're saying things like you're long in the tooth, you're getting old. Yeah, Ed Reed's got some gray in his beard and
hair.
And his hair. And so Ray Lewis is, you know, he's doing his squirrel dance last week. But you know what? What's wrong with that? He's earned the right 17 years. I would also tell him, say, go out there and any play, you know, you could have a crab cake sandwich between Ray Lewis and Paul Kruger on Peyton Manning. And then you're back to that one-trick pony that you had last year.
Some of the challenges the Ravens will face this week, it's a short week. You've got to travel out to Denver, talk about the thin air and playing there in the Mile High City. How much, Brad, does that affect a team when you talk about your preparation for a big playoff game? They've got to deal with all these.
Well, you see it through all sports, you know, that, you know, the fact that the altitude does have an impact. You also talk about when you look at what the Ravens went through, 87 plays defensively on the field for 38, 39 minutes, a short week. You spend half of the day traveling. And then, of course, you know, you're out there in the altitude. And there's no question about it. Peyton Manning's going to run that fast break offense. We all know if I'm a coach and putting my coaching hat on, and Peyton Manning is smart enough to do that, as Pollard named in the MacBook, you're going to see a lot of hurry up and no huddle early in this game. The reason why it's going to have effect like a boxing match later in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, hopefully to wear the Ravens down. My mindset, if I'm the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, is you have to start. And we know we were there because we've played in Denver and we won. And Coach Billick did the Jedi mind trick by telling us, first and foremost, they're breathing the same air that we are. Their sideline doesn't have any extra oxygen. It's still 100-53 on the field, and they got to put their pads on their helmet. So if we go out there and we punch them in the mouth and we're more physical and we play faster than what they're able to do, then the altitude won't matter because they have to deal with the same elements.
And here's the bottom line. If I'm also the head coach, I'm making sure that we are extra hydrated. I think that's the biggest thing that you look at when it comes to you know what, the whole leaving 2 days before, one day of, I don't think that there's a bigger deal. I think the one X factor when you look at it, as far as good, you go out there early and I'll meet you out there on the day of the game. But when you look at the overall picture of it all, my team is always going to win. When you look at my team's going to whoop your team's butt.
No shit.
But I digress. When you look at the whole flow of it all, it has to be about hydrating properly. But then when you also look at what goes on in Denver, it's about John Elway and what John Elway did for the Denver Broncos. And last I checked, all the litany of quarterbacks, including Jay Cutler and the rest of the guys, they don't have the same winning record at Mile High that John Elway did. So, yeah, don't get caught up in the hype of it all. Make sure that you're prepared, yeah, physically, but know this to be true, that, yeah, they are beatable. Don't get caught up in the whole, well, altitude. That doesn't factor in.
One other factor, the Ravens have done this 5 years in a row. I think that says a lot, too. They know how to win.
5 years in a row.
They haven't been there, but they know how to win in the playoffs. No matter where you go. Go to New England, they've won. I think this is one of those situations. You just recognize where you are, and you'll get through it.
Talk about maybe coconut water.
I think that's what Q's talking about, right?
Coconut water will definitely help. I'm telling you.
I've been trying that. It keeps you hydrated, by the way. And when you talk about road playoff success, Ray Lewis could, if they win this week, he'll have the most road playoff wins of anybody in the history of the NFL, will be 8. Mm. So they've done it on the road, and you've got a leader that knows how to get it done on the road in the postseason. Let's talk about some keys. Week 15, these two teams played, and it was all Denver in that game. And as Brad mentioned, one of the big storylines was time of possession in that game. How important then, Q, when you talk about the keys to this offense, get the running game going, time of possession, you're keeping Peyton off the field, mm-hmm. but you've got to have success. Third down, keep the clock going.
Well, you talked about the third down. In the first game, they were 1-for-12 on third down. Right. I remember the first third and one, it was the quarterback sneak. Joe Flacco fumbled the football. If you look at the Giants game right after that, Joe Flacco, as opposed to that third and one fumbling with the quarterback sneak, he goes down the line with the option pitch. Why? Because Jim Caldwell, the offensive coordinator, was new, and he was trying to figure out the flow of the game as far as calling the plays. After that game, you saw the rhythm of the offense pick up, and you saw the tempo pick up because now Jim Caldwell got a lot more comfortable. Joe understood what was going to be called. They script their plays, so everyone is on the same page. Offensive line, you had 3 sacks in that game. I think the offensive line being retooled with Michael Orr going back over to the right side, Kelechi Osemele going to left guard, Bryant McKinney coming in at left tackle, protecting that blind side, I think it solidifies things. I think, in fact, they can run the ball. Bernard Pierce. Wow, what a great addition as far as the 1-2 punch, taking a lot of pressure off of Ray Rice. Overall, when you look at it, I think that they'll be a better offense than we saw the first time out.
Well, hopefully they're a better offense because they got the butt whipped that game. I mean, let's call it, it was 31-3, and if it wasn't for Dennis Pitta having 2 catches for 92 yards with a 31- and 61-yard touchdowns are pretty much meaningless to come to the score, you know, to make it 34-17, mm-hmm. that was an embarrassing win embarrassing loss.
It could have been a better game right at the end of the half if it did not the 98-yard INT. That would have been
what happened before that, and what you're saying, B, and this is my point, is how they got to do it. They got to stop the run, plain and simple. I mean, that game you're talking about, a Peyton Manning mm-hmm. who loves to throw the football, they ran the football 45 times for 163 yards down the Baltimore Ravens' throat. Plain and simple. When you don't stop the run, when you have third and short, and that's why the Broncos had a better third down conversion than the Ravens did, that allows your defense to stay on the field longer. And any defense that's on the field, this isn't college. Those guys in Denver aren't on scholarship. You're going to have Peyton Manning make a couple plays. You're going to have Eric Decker get open on double moves because there's those times because now our safety start creeping into the box because our front 7 did not stop the run. Plain and simple. Period. End of discussion. If you don't stop the run this week and let Peyton Manning do the play action, it's going to be, you know, they're going to come back here to Baltimore, and it's going to say woulda, coulda, shoulda.
You talk about that game in Week 15. Several starters did not play in that game. Ray Lewis, Danelle Ellerbe, whether it's Pollard. Bernard Pierce, yeah. Pollard.
They're all good run stoppers.
How much of an effect do you think it can make having those guys back for this one?
Oh, I think those guys are the keys to me that Brad just alluded that they weren't able to stop that run game. But as it turned out, Peyton Manning came alive in the second half in the pass game too. So to me, it's more about stop the run, yes, but also – you know, you're going to have to deal with the secondary that the Ravens are going to have to really get pressure on the quarterback with Peyton, getting pressure on him because he can't get into the double moves. He can't give him that time or else he's going
to
tear him up.
And the key drive was it was 3-3. It was a good battle back and forth. But then it was that drive that gave them the touchdown. They had 8 runs, 3 passes. And now the Denver Broncos said, you know what, Peyton can't throw the ball. McPhee had a sack. McClellan had a sack. The defense was doing their job in the passing game. They just gave it up in a run game.
Talking about stopping the run, you want to also run the football. Q brings up a great point, maybe the X factor. Bernard Pierce, since the Denver game, is averaging just over 100 yards in his last 3. How big that could be coming up on Saturday. By the way, you can get involved on the show through Twitter, hashtag Purple Passion. We'll get your questions and comments and pick the best ones and get them on the show. Coming up in the next block, RG3. It's been the big news this week. Yeah. He's done for a while. They're out of the playoffs. We'll break it down on the other side. Stick around.
The Maryland Lottery's presentation of Purple Passion is brought to you by the Ravens Cash Fantasy Scratch-Offs, only from the Maryland Lottery.